And he joins us via the Revel Wireless Hotline, Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, rookie mini camp, not a ton to take away from it because only 3 days of just the rookies here and only five of them were draft picks. And of those five, you didn't even have one of them on the field because he's still recovering from the Achilles injury, Jamore Slaughter from Notre Dame. So it was limited to a lot of undrafted players, a lot of tryout players. But here's the thing, a couple of things that stood out. Barkevius Mingo heard a lot of questions about whether he's just simply too skinny to play in the NFL at 237 pounds, 6'4". His answers to that are what impressed me. And basically what he said was, I'm just fine, which I would say I don't know that he is. I think he needs to gain the weight, but I like the attitude of saying, hey, I'm here to play. I don't see myself as lacking something right off the bat.
Well, Vic, that's a really good point. And I like to look at things from a couple different perspectives. And your number one pick, any draft pick, any guy who's undrafted, free agent who came in, the 18 guys who came in as part of this mini camp, or the five draft picks, I really believe it's imperative that they have a belief in themselves that given their God-given gifts of athleticism, height, weight, speed, strength, ability to make plays, I really believe it's imperative that they believe in themselves. And they believe that given where they are right now, that they can compete. Now, that being said, can they really compete at that level, given currently where they're at, given their current God-given gifts, and have they grown them, progressed it? Can they get stronger, faster, gain more weight, learn more technique? Absolutely yes, to the latter part of my statement. They can get bigger, stronger, faster, add weight, add technique, add some new rapport repetitions to their game. They absolutely could do that. But that's for the coaches and for themselves to learn and grow over time. So you want guys who believe in themselves, that they believe they can make plays. You don't want guys coming in here thinking, well, in 18 months, I'm going to gain 15, 20 pounds. I'm going to learn the system. I'm going to be able then to learn some technique, and then I'll be able to be a good football player. It absolutely makes me nauseous to hear anybody even say that, let alone think that. So whether it's they can or can't, their belief that they can is one important step. And then secondarily, if their work ethic is there, and a guy like Mingo, who at basically 6'4 and change and a little north of 240 pounds, and just looking at him, is it realistic to think he could gain 25, 30 pounds in the next 6 months and sustain that weight and continue with his speed and athleticism? Probably not. Is it realistic to think he could gain maybe 5 or 10 pounds of strength and weight? That's probably realistic. Over a couple of years period, 24 to 36 months,
right,
the odds of him gaining probably 20 to 30 sustainable pounds that don't inhibit his speed and athleticism is very realistic. And I think ultimately that's the goal. I'm not trying to lay out or deflect for for 3 years from now being a good football player, because I think he can do enough with his athleticism and his God-given gifts today to make plays in the NFL. I just think he could keep getting better over time.
In the short run, Bernie, I think most people will tell you, most personnel people will tell you that sustainable ability to keep weight is like 5 to 10 pounds. And that's really short run type of look. And I think that would be, you know, the immediate thought or the immediate goal of the Browns to try to get him to something that he can keep on. The kid clearly has the high burn metabolism, and he clearly struggles to keep weight, and that was understood. But I also think the key with his skill level, with his intelligence, instincts, how he picks things up. And that was what I paid attention to. He looked like he knew where he was supposed to be dropping into coverage. He knew like he was where he was supposed to be when it came to rushing the passer and in terms of the timing of those. And again, it's against air, and it's against other rookies, so you're really not seeing anything that resembles what he's going to deal with, even when all the Browns veterans are together on the field with the rookies. But you got the feeling that he was not out of place as an NFL outside linebacker.
Well, again, I think that's a really good point. And for Browns fans, something that we all should, you know, enjoy to see coming out of this rookie camp. Look, at people typically with their first-round picks, good or bad, success or not, they tend to prop them up in these types of periods. It was nice and refreshing for me to see him playing, see how he acts, see how other coaches and people, and more importantly, teammates, respond to his ability to understand the plays and execute the plays. And he seems to have the gift of understanding the we call it, you know, football intelligence, that kind of it factor of understanding the concept of the play is one thing, but understanding what you're supposed to do, the concept of the play, and then how to use all those concepts and teaching points and God-given gifts you've been given to actually execute and make a play. And sometimes that stuff's not teachable, and you either have the ability to make plays or you don't. And again, it's early, it's not pads, it's that stuff. But he did nothing in his first rookie minicamp to show that he's not capable of having that ability to understand and make plays. And I thought that was refreshing and fun to watch.
Bernie Kosar joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, Leon McFadden, the Browns' third-round draft pick, again, the height issue or the size issue coming up with him, as it did with Mingo, in his case, height for McFadden, 5'9 and change. But in terms of what he's being asked to do, I think it's more about how he plays the cornerback position than it is about how much height he might not have relative to some of the other corners in the league, even some of the other corners who are coming out in the draft and the trend toward bigger, taller corners in the NFL. You think about the fact that Sheldon Brown had been on that other side, and he wasn't the biggest guy. He was only 5'9". You think about the fact that Buster Skrin, who's the other guy in the conversation to compete at cornerback, also a 5'9 player. But I think with McFadden, all the talk about instincts, intelligence, grasp, you know, anticipation of what he needs to do and doing it right and avoiding mistakes, these are the kinds of things that I think he has a chance to maximize and enhance his ability to become a starter.
Well, I agree with you. Me and you talked on the show last week about how without contact, without pads, being able to adequately judge the quarterbacks, the front seven and their ability to pass rush. When you're not allowed contact in a contact sport like football, certain positions, it's really tough to analyze and grade and practice being able to make plays and to handle things under duress like pass rushing, pass protection, quarterbacking, throwing balls. All that being said, receivers and DBs, as sometimes critical as I've been on those positions for sometimes their lack of aggressiveness within the game of football, I think those positions you see more contact, and it's more realistic. It's more game-like atmosphere at the defensive back position and the receiver position. And you're 100% right. The ability of a cornerback, a secondary player, to understand quarterback drops, his ability or lack of ability to read a quarterback eyes, his instincts on jumping routes, understanding route concepts and understanding where people are going with the ball and where the ball is going, his sense of timing is all stuff that whether it's a rookie minicamp, post-draft, training camp, or a game, those are somewhat game-like, similar areas that you could really get a good judgment of, and to see bump coverage, and even though it's not supposed to be physical, receivers and DBs are trying to make the team. They're trying to make a first impression with their coaching staff. And you see a lot of good, realistic game tempo type stuff. And I think McFadden had a fantastic first few days of showing that he enjoys the contact, he enjoys the game, but he has some of the instincts that I really like to see if I'm a quarterback not having to throw against them. I like to see DBs with those type instincts.
Another thing I liked, and this is similar to Mingo, is the attitude thing too. With regard to the questions about whether or not he's tall enough to play this game or to be effective as a starter in the NFL, he comes back with, hey, I've got a chip on my shoulder because of that. I mean, that's the reason why he was available in the third round. He knows that, and he's definitely using it as motivation. I have no problem with that. I like the fact that he's thinking that way, and as we mentioned earlier about Mingo, hearing those questions about his weight issues, and both guys basically saying, hey, look, we're here, we can compete. You know, you guys can talk about our size all you want in the media, whatever. We'll show you.
Yeah, well, there's a little statistic or group of people that I like to analyze every year, and this is right up, I like to think, my sweet spot or higher success rate of success when you look at things like this. There's a lot of money at stake in where you're drafted now. With the rookie wage scale and you being picked in the first round at number 6, like Mingo was, or you drop like Sharif Floyd did from the University of Florida, who has an incredible story behind him of his personal life and him growing up, thinking he was possibly going to go third to the Raiders, and then he's drafted in like in the mid-20s or something. The guy, history has showed, especially over the last 5 years, the guys who go later, significantly later than when they should have, and have that chip on their shoulder, from a position other than quarterback, they tend to show an incredible resiliency and sense of purpose to trying to prove people wrong. And seeing some of the success stories of guys who have gone later than they should but end up showing that they deserve to be in the NFL, it's an awesome thing, because one of the true tests and tough tests is, me and you talk about a lot on the air and off the air, is the money, the fame, the notoriety that comes with these high draft picks. And some of the guys who get picked where they should have or high and get the nice contracts, they end up having a lot more friends. They have new family that shows up.
Yeah.
They feel good about themselves. The reporters are all talking to them. In this period of May, June, July, August, everything tends to be pretty positive in terms of the compliments that are coming at them. That tends sometimes to weaken certain players, whereas the guys that have a chip on their shoulder, the guys that probably think they should have gone higher, expected to gone higher, were told by teams that they're going to be picked if they're there at this pick, and then aren't picked. Some of those guys turn out to have this focus and aggressiveness that I absolutely love, that kind of keeps their eyes on the target, their eyes on the right prize of trying to be a successful, fantastic, contributing player that wins games. And there's been some incredible stories about that. And them are the type of guys that I really feel comfortable with putting my name behind them.
Bernie, outstanding. Appreciate it. And we'll do this again next week.
Sounds great.
He is Bernie Kosar. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.